Hipwood from about 48. He gobbles up the distance and he rams it through. That's a glorious kick. Hipwood comes in and he kicks his third goal of the day. Horrible kick straight to Cutler. Hand pass to Hipwood, goal. Jones completely shanked the kick. It didn't carry to Cutler on the full, but set up for him conveniently. He gave off the hand pass and Hipwood kicks his fourth. Hipwood comes in and goals. He has five. He's having a big day. The man on the mark is virtually standing on the goal line between the sticks. And Hipwood comes in and drives it through. Six goals, Eric Hipwood.
Oh, you can almost hear the pain in Tim Lane's voice calling that a success and mastery yesterday by the Brisbane Lions, and Eric Hipwood in particular with his career best six goals against the Blues. It was 65 points to the good of the home team up at the Gabba, and one of the other main reasons was the performance of Dane Booms, 40 disposals in a best on ground performance, and he joins us on Sunday Sport on 3RW. G'day, Dane.
How you going?
Going all right, buddy. Going all right. First time you've won back-to-back games since round 6 and 7 in 2015. What was the celebration like last night?
Yeah, it was good. Obviously, we debriefed the game about an hour after it and went through some positives and things we could work on. And then I think a few of the... We got a seven-day break, so I think a few of the boys were heading to an ice hockey game, actually.
of course they were.
So it was Canada versus America. I think it was somewhere at the exhibition centre. Not for me, I had baby duty.
Yes, home to help out, which is nice work. Hey, just tell me what you've seen from Brisbane this year and the way it's going in your eyes. You've sat back and you've seen a bit of it from afar. You've been involved with, obviously, the coalface a fair bit as well. You're performing out of your socks. What are you seeing at the moment from this Brisbane Lions outfit?
A lot of development, I guess. We've got a lot of young emerging boys in our side, and it's really pleasing just to be able to sort of, you know, be out there on the field and watch the progress that they're making. Like, it's quite noticeable. You know, the guys, I think, Tim McCluggage and Jared Berry have taken steps forward in their career this year, and then you throw in, you know, Cam Reyna, Alex Witherden, these sorts of guys. They're exciting and they're showing something every game. Like, if you're a supporter sitting in the stands, you'd be sitting back pretty comfortable, I think, thinking, you know, the club's heading in the right direction, and these kids have got bright futures ahead of them. So, yeah, well, I mean, for us senior guys, there's not too many of us, but I guess that's what's driving us.
Dane, Mark Robinson here. You're right, 21,000 people at the Gabba yesterday, which is a terrific crowd on a Saturday afternoon. I hope you can indulge me here because I want to ask about you. Can you tell us your mindset 7 weeks ago compared to your mindset now?
I still have to answer it as truthfully as I can. Right, I still have moments. Obviously, there's those moments. You know, becoming a little bit fewer and farther after a few runs that are apart. But, you know, they're still there. And game days are difficult for me. Life is difficult. I won't lie about that. Like, my dad was a big part of my footy career, and I associated footy with him. So game days are still a struggle. Like, I still get quite emotional before games. But once I'm out there, I feel really free, and it's sort of 2 or 3 hours of the week where I feel like I can just run around and just play footy and enjoy, you know, the freedom with my teammates. And whether we win or lose, it's, for me, it's footy's actually quite therapeutic at the moment.
You're doing it superbly, Dane, and I mean that. The entire football world has watched you when you made the decision to step down, and everyone feels for you, and to watch you play football at the moment is one of the joys in football. It really is. Is it a matter of football reminding of your dad, or do you think you'll get to a stage where you actually play to honour your father?
I think I'm doing a bit of both at the moment. Like, I know, like, all I could think about, like, I mean, I was quite emotional after the game yesterday, and that was, it's something that you can't really plan for. Like, I remember I was doing my recovery, and I just, you know, I started crying and I started thinking about things, about, you know, where I kicked that goal yesterday was pretty much right where Dad used to sit. So, those sorts of things sort of go through your head. So, yes, it's nice that I was able to, you know, kick a goal right where Dad used to sit, but at the same time, it's like, shit, I wish he was there to see it. So they're the sorts of things that go through my head. And I'm lucky I've got really good teammates. I mean, Cam Rayner is an 18-year-old kid. He came, sat down next to me and put his arm around me. And, it just shows the sort of culture and environment we're building at footy club. And it's really pleasing and nice to be able to have such great support.
Well spoken, mate. And when you're going through situations like that and being in the rooms, and we've all been in football club rooms, and the two fellas here, Daniel and Shorey, have played AFL footy, so they know your environment. Having a guy like Fage as coach, who, it's a throwaway line to say someone is a father figure, but of all the people I've met in football, Fage, to me, is a kind of a father-type figure. How have you and he been as captain and coach, stepping down and going through and you producing what you're doing on the field? Can you describe in any way how that relationship has sort of developed in the last 7-8 weeks?
Yeah, well, I think it started when Fage first got to the club. I think he and I really were on the same page, and we shared the same passion about getting the footy club back to where it needed to be. So I guess the challenges throughout the pre-season and early in the season, I've been really open and honest with the club. Like, I've never hidden anything, and I've always sort of just shared how I've been feeling, and generally, like, I feel like I know what's best for me at the time. So, and they've been really supportive of helping me and just giving me any of the resources that they put in front of me, or even just mapping out a plan. Like, I know it got difficult there towards the start of the season, where I was trying to manage footy and home life because my dad was living with me. So it was about sitting down and just mapping something out about when I could actually train and when I could be home. And the club were always about putting my family first, and that's what I'm all about as well. So I guess Fage was, to answer your question, he was always just, he pretty much left it in my hands and trusted that I knew what I was doing and that I was going to be okay to play footy. But and I assured him that I would be. Like, it was more of an injury sort of thing for me, like making sure that I was just doing enough to prevent injury going into the season. So it was a bit of a challenge and difficult, but I guess that's what life throws at you. Yeah, throws at you different sort of challenges, and it's just how you deal with them and how you build sort of character.
We're talking to Dane Beams, Brisbane Lions star and former captain. And Beamsy, I love your honesty, mate. And I know there's a lot of footballers who've gone through things. But when you take your dad, you know, you've got young children, your wife's illness, matter of fact, just this week, but the announcement then that you weren't going to be captain. I want to go back to the captaincy and think, no disrespect, but was it thrust upon you when you mightn't have wanted the title, even though you're a good leader and a good competitor, and I know that from Collingwood days, was that thrust upon you? And maybe in hindsight, you look at it and think that caused, what percentage did it cause of the problems that you went through?
No, I don't think so. Like, I was really passionate, and a lot of the stuff that happened with my dad happened a lot quicker than we all thought.
Yeah.
Like, cancer can be quite aggressive, and you know, the time frames he was originally given were much longer than what he ended up lasting. Like, so everything was sort of going okay, and then everything just sort of spiraled out of control in a short amount of time. So I guess, you know, I was really passionate about the footy club, but at the same time, like, I was dealing with a lot of things away from the club, and I wasn't able to give, you know, 100% to the role. And
yep.
It's a big responsibility, captaining a footy club, and I just didn't feel comfortable. We actually made a decision. Like, I wasn't going to leadership meetings for about 6 or 7 weeks before I actually handed down the captaincy, and the reason I ended up handing it down was that I just didn't feel comfortable with, you know, Zorks and Hodgie and the other leaders are doing a lot of the grunt work, and I really wasn't doing a whole lot, and it just didn't sit comfortable with me having the title whilst I wasn't really doing much in that capacity. So I handed it down to Zorks, and Zorks has done a fantastic job. He's matured so much as a person over the last couple of years, and yeah, I'm really enjoying actually playing underneath him. He's doing a really great job, and his leadership, like I said, really developed, and it's great to see him. It's great to see the person that he's developed into, because I've actually spent a lot of time with Zorks. He's been a great family friend of mine for a number of years now, so I've personally seen the big amount of growth in him.
I think a lot of I'll call you a veteran, mate, but we've all gone through that stage when you play a lot of football. But just to have the young talent around you excites you. But what I've liked about it is in your wins, and not, it hasn't been against, like, you know, we know where Carlton is, but you have beaten sides and put them away, where a young side would normally say get to the front and get close wins. But it looks like they've got a lot of competitive drive in this young group, even though we know the talent. But that's a great attitude and a great thing to have if you're going to be a real successful club, that, you know, real aggressive nature.
Yeah, we speak about those things. Like, even in our half-time dress from Zork yesterday, like, we spoke about that. We spoke about really putting the foot down and putting it to bed early in the third quarter, and we also did the same thing against Frey. I think we, albeit we've only won three games, we've got the second or highest winning margin. So,
yeah, by about 10 goals, I think.
Yeah, it's pleasing that, you know, when we do win, we buy a fair bit. But we'd also like to, you know, win a few more of those closer games that we've been in throughout the season. I think there's been about four or five games where we've sort of, you know, been in final being levels at some stage during the last quarter. So as we mature a little bit more as a group and play a little bit more footy together, I'd like to think we can swing a few more of those sorts of wins, close the wins together, yeah.
We saw a performance yesterday, Dane, from Eric Hipwood with his six snags, which I think we've been waiting for some time. He's got immense talent, this boy, and you know him much better than we do and work with him day to day. Do you think this might be the catalyst for him to perhaps explode to the level we thought he probably could?
Yeah, I think so. I think we've seen a real shift, I think, in the way he's playing, particularly over the last couple of weeks. He was sort of... not frustrating as a midfielder going forward, but he's patterning and he's leading was always tending to be, he sort of liked to run backwards, and then even when he was coming at the ball, he'd like to take the ball on his chest. So I think he's had a real big focus the last two or three weeks on, you know, actually extending his arms and using that to his advantage, because he's not a strong guy yet, but he does have reach, so he's able to, if he's able to take the ball at highest point, there's not too many defenders that are going to be able to, spoil the ball, and even if they can, the likelihood of guys chopping his arms are going to go up as well, and he's going to win more free kicks. So I think he's worked on that really hard, and along with Big Oscar up there and Dan McStay, they've given him a chop out, and one generally seems to get off the chain a bit, and for Eric yesterday, that was him with his six goals.
Hey, Dane, 3 weeks ago I rang Greg Swan because there's a report down here in Melbourne that you weren't going, coming back to Victoria, or contemplating coming back to Victoria. So I wrote a news piece. Greg Swan said that won't be happening. Can you give me your thoughts on that story?
Oh, look, I think, as I said to Swanee, I think the way I think this has got out is I've always said that I'll, you know, eventually live back in Victoria, post my career, and I think maybe people have sort of tried to draw a line between me handing up the captaincy and then just tried to, I don't know where the reports have come from, but as I said, and I've been open and honest with the footy club about that. Like, my wife's from Victoria, I've been Victoria at home, so Queensland's not home for me, so I've always made it clear that at the end of my career I'll end up back in Victoria and living there. So I don't know whether that someone read that the wrong way or what's happened, but I mean that's
so you will be at Brisbane for the remainder of your career?
At this stage, yeah.
At this stage is three important words, change. Dane.
Anything can happen, Robbo.
That's right.
You know, that anything can happen.
The Pies are on a roll. How would that be? The prodigal son comes home. I don't know.
Well, I want to talk about the Pies before we let you go. Dane, Steel side bottoms are made of yours. Yeah. You're playing game number 200 today. Tell us a quirky tale of Steel.
Yeah, spoken about him a fair bit this week, actually. And really good to, I guess, relive some of the memories. I've got a lot of memories of him still. Probably a few of them aren't appropriate for radio. he's someone who's developed massively in my eyes. I think he's been underrated for a long, long time. I think he's getting some recognition this year that he rightly deserves. And but the most pleasing thing for me is the way he's developed as a man. Like, he's thought from being the kid from was it Telly Grootner in Shepparton to a vice captain of the biggest football club in Australia. So you look at the growth in people, and he's got a long-term partner, and he won't like me saying this, but we were actually talking about children the other day and how he'd like to have kids in the future. So it's different. Like, when I left him, we were pretty much two young bucks running the muck, and now I've got a wife and two kids, and he's got a long-term partner and quite settled as well. So it's funny how life changes, that he's been such a durable player for them for a long time. Like, in my opinion, he's been the most important player. When I was there, he was always the heart and soul of the footy club. Like, he was the guy that always put a smile on people's faces and made people laugh, and he's just got a great nature about him. And I'll be sitting here watching him hopefully dominate at 3:20 today.
He's going to have a big hand, you're right, here at the MCG as the Pies get ready to tackle the Bombers this afternoon on 3AW. That's a match for broadcast. Before I let you go, last one. Just on your connection with footy, are you surprised at the level of emotional attachment that footy has brought with you and your relationship with your dad, the trigger that's given you since your dad's passing?
Yeah, definitely. You take it for granted a little bit. Like, I guess everything that you do, like, when you're playing footy, you don't really, you try and find, I guess, how you got into the game and how you sort of made your way through the ranks. And a lot of it's got to do with your parents. I won't just say my dad, but my parents, worked hard for me to come through schooling, and in Queensland there's different pathways. So, but my father was someone who played in my way of the country in New South Wales, and won 7 BNFs there, and he's an all-time legend of that footy club. So, I wish, it's hard to explain, but, I since I came to Queensland, Dad never missed a game. He'd always sort of come to my house before a game. He'd drive in the car with me. And it was like yesterday, I just felt like, it was weird. We'd won 2 games in a row, and all I really wanted to do was talk to Dad and, just talk to him about footy. And because usually we'd debrief a game, he'd meet me in the car park after he'd been at the pub for the drive home. So, yeah, it is different, but it's something that have to get used to. And I've got a young son now that, I'll continue to live, and have that relationship with my son like I did with my own.
Yep. He'd be wrapped with the man that you've become, Dane, let alone the footballer you are for the Brisbane Lions. Well done, mate. We really appreciate your time this afternoon. Good luck next week with the Brisbane Lions. 3 on the trot sounds nice, so go get them.
Yeah, that would be nice. Thanks for having me.